are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Breezy coming at you live today on October 17th. If this is your first time listening to The Eighth Dwarf, this is everything Disney related. So far I've talked about Disney parks, Disney Channel, and some of its shows and movies, and also some Disney movie spin-offs. But today, I am going to be talking about Disney princesses. Yes, the Disney princesses that we all know and love. But I am not going to be talking about every single one of them. I'm only going to be talking about, a majority of them. But if you're wondering why I'm not going to be talking about Moana, the newest Disney princess, that's because I'm saving that topic later in November when the premiere date draws near. So now I'm going to be jumping into 15 surprising facts about Disney princesses. And none of these facts are things that I've noticed. I got all of these from 17.com. So if you're interested in reading more, then definitely head on over there. So number one, while there are many princesses in Disney movies, Disney itself only recognizes some of them in its official Disney princesses lineup, which includes Snow White, Mulan, Aurora, Belle, Tiana, Rapunzel, Ariel, Cinderella, Jasmine, Pocahontas, and Merida. There are rumors that Anna and Elsa from Frozen will be inducted into the official lineup soon. I really hope Moana is, because she's straight up a Disney princess, so if she's not, I'm gonna be pissed. Number two, Walt Disney planned a sequel for Snow White called Snow White Returns, but sadly it never made it into production. Imagine how awesome it would have been for Snow White to come back and show the evil queen who was boss without needing to hide away in the woods waiting for someone to rescue her. Okay. So if you watched Once Upon a Time, Snow White does this. She definitely, she don't need no man. She didn't need a man. She actually caught her husband. Spoiler about that, by the way. Yeah, she caught him in a net. So she didn't need no man to do nothing. So check that off. She already did that. Okay, number three is Pocahontas is the only princess based on a real person. The real Pocahontas was born in the late 1500s, but if you knew the real story, you'd know that Pocahontas was like hella young at the time, and John Smith was like hella old. So yeah, there's that little thing that they changed. Number four, when The Little Mermaid was released in 1989, Ariel became the first Disney princess in 30 years. The last princess before that was Aurora from Sleeping Beauty, which was released in 1959. It was about time for a sassy red-headed princess. Number five, Beyoncé could have voiced the role of Tiana in Princess and the Frog, but she refused to audition and lost the role to her Dreamgirls co-star Anika Noni Rose. Yo, what the heck? Okay, Beyoncé, that's cool. I mean, the one who actually voiced Tiana did a pretty good job, so it all worked out. It's okay. Number six, Pocahontas was actually not the first Native American princess in a Disney movie. Although she is the only one to be featured on the official Disney princess lineup, Tiger Lily from Peter Pan was actually the first. That's so cool, oh my gosh! But I do think that Tiger Lily definitely deserves more recognition, like, hello. She was a good character, okay? And her character is really cool in Peter Pan the musical. Okay, I watched that. That was cool. Number seven, Princess Aurora from Sleeping Beauty has the least amount of dialogue of all the Disney princesses, probably because she spent most of her time sleeping. Same girl, same. I'm probably going to be sleeping too. I want to sleep too. Number eight, Mulan is the only character of the official Disney princess lineup who is not actually a real princess. All of the others are princesses by birth or married princes, but Mulan was just so kick-ass, she had to be the exception. Okay, I didn't put that in there. I'm so sorry. And I actually watched a video on this, and some people say it's because Disney wanted to celebrate diversity, but it's really because she possesses traits that people can look up to, like the other Disney princesses. And Disney's latest campaign of Dream Big Princess, it was it states that it's not about your social status or who you marry and how much money you have. Instead, Disney is celebrating diversity and positive character traits. I think that is fantastic. Yeah. Honestly, if Mulan wasn't added in there, I'd be really, really sad. But since she is, I'm not sad. So, yeah. Number 9. Adriana Caselotti, the actress who voiced Snow White, was only paid $20 a day in 1937, which doesn't sound like a lot now, but at the time was a fairly decent salary. In 1994, she became the first woman to be named a Disney legend in the voice category. That's so cool. Number 10. You probably remember her dress being pretty, but you may not have realized that Belle is the only person in her hometown to wear blue in Beauty and the Beast, which signifies that she is an outsider. When she meets the Beast, he is also wearing blue, showing that they are both misfits. Blue was also meant to symbolize good in the movie. Gaston, on the other hand, wears red to highlight that he's a bad guy. You will never watch Beauty and the Beast again without looking at the colors everyone is wearing. Honestly, when I first read this one, I was like, you write 17 magazine. I will literally not see this movie the same. Because now that you know the message, you know, like when some people kind of just ruin it's, I wouldn't consider it ruining, but when they tell you something that you've never noticed before, it's like you can't unsee it. That's how it's going to be right now. And I'm going to be watching Beauty and the Beast and looking at Gaston and be like, oh, he's wearing red. That means he's bad because red means stop. Ugh. And then when she meets Beast, he's also wearing blue. So that's so cool. I just thought, oh, she's wearing blue. It's a vibrant blue. But literally, looking back in the movie now, no one's even wearing blue at all. I thought it was just her shade of blue. But no, it's the color blue. Whoa, I love the color blue. Thank you, Belle. Number 11, the magical moment when Cinderella's dress transforms from her housemaid threads into a gorgeous ball gown was Walt Disney's all-time favorite animation. Really, who can argue with him? Let's think about this. No one. No one can argue because this was literally the coolest thing. And I wish that, because I've seen some videos where like girls or cosplayers, they're dressed up as Cinderella, you know, not Cinderella, where she's still in her dirty clothes and all of like with all the cinder dust or whatever is on her dress. And then all of a sudden she transforms and she changes. And I want, and like their dress goes from those tattered clothes into the ball gown. Like, how do you sew that? I want to do that. I want to be that. But we can't have everything we want in life, and that's okay. Number 12. Some people who worked closely with Walt Disney, they say that Cinderella was his favorite princess. Well, looking at the last fact, it kind of would make sense why. I mean, that scene, I just can't stop talking about that scene. It's so good. I need to watch Cinderella again. You should probably too, because reminiscence. And I really agree with this, but you know, I still gotta see Moana, because for a while I really loved Cinderella, but I think Moana's gonna be the one. I gotta see it though. I'm getting so excited seeing all the sneak peeks and all of the little trailers and the teasers. Oh, so excited for November. Number 13. Originally, Aladdin was meant to look much shabbier. But after Jasmine's character was designed, producers had artists redo Aladdin completely. They didn't feel that their chemistry would be convincing on screen because Jasmine was way too flawless. Dude, I guess this would make sense because you gotta have the couples compliment each other. So that would make sense, but I'd probably, if I was working, you know, doing all the drawings and stuff, I'd probably change it too because if he was like really bad, I don't think that she would even make eye contact with him because she's so prestige and then he's so down there and it's like on different levels, different social classes. So, I mean, I get why they want to change him. And number 14, if the Disney princesses existed in real life, they totally might have gone to your high school because turns out they're all teens. Snow White is only 14 years old, making her the youngest. Jasmine, who is supposed to be 15, is the second youngest. Cinderella and Tiana are the oldest, both 19 years old. Let's take a moment here. I am still a teen. And Tiana and Cinderella are 19. What does that mean? That means it's not too late for me to be a princess. I need to be a princess. It's not too late, you guys. Our chance is still here. And you know, yeah, it's still here. Don't lose hope. Dreams do come true. I will be a princess one day. You watch. You listen. Because this is a radio show. Okay, and the last fact. Number 15. Cinderella was the first princess who was not from royal descent. Yet, she turned out to be one of the most glamorous. Okay, first of all, is that not foreshadowing me? I am not from royal descent, but I could turn out to be one of the most glamorous. Oh, hashtag stay humble. Okay, Cinderella. Cinderella kept it lit, so it's okay. You know what? This is still goals. I can still achieve it, all right? Okay, so I am going to go on a quick break. Remember, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu, and this is DJ Breezy. After this break, I will be talking about some more facts, but I did get this from a different website. So stay tuned for that, and I'll see you right after the break.
I got just what you need. Brand new Chris Brown, T-Pain. You heard it here first. Nappy Boy Radio. We love
hey,
you.
She want that love and tell me, tell me, tell me. Kiss, 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 kiss. Kiss my ass, she fantasize.
Hi ho! I am back from break, so hi-ho, back from break we go. You are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. So before the break, if you're just tuning in right now, this is The Eighth Dwarf. It's everything Disney-related. And before the break, I was talking about some facts about Disney princesses that you may not know about. And now I'm going to be telling you some more facts, because why not? Let's learn something about the characters that we all know and love. So I'm going to tell you more facts, and this is before the break I was talking about facts that I got from 17.com, but this time I got these facts from BuzzFeed.com. And disclaimer, the original article had about 57 facts, and I'm only going to be telling you about 20 of them because I didn't find all of them that interesting. I think some of them we all kind of knew, and also because time. So I'm going to be telling you 20 interesting facts about Disney princesses. So number one, Mulan's story is based on an ancient Chinese legend of Hua Mulan, a female warrior famously described in the poem The Ballad of Mulan. Okay, can we just take a moment, because that sounds really cool. Like a female war. I mean, that's really what Mulan was. She was a female warrior. And that movie is lit. It's still lit. It was lit when it first came out. It will forever be lit. Because, you know, she was strong. She was, what is the song? Like, coursing river, strong as a great typhoon. Heck yeah, Mulan. Number two. Both Mulan and Tiana are left-handed. And looking at this BuzzFeed article, they showed two GIFs. Is it? I think it's GIFs. That's how I'm going to pronounce it. Okay. So they showed those two side by side, and it showed them using both their left hand. The one for Mulan, she was eating rice. It was when she was at the camp with all the other soldiers, and she was eating the rice with her chopsticks in her left hand. And I never really noticed that before. I love all these facts, because it's like little things that you don't really notice, or it's a lot of stuff that you just don't know because you're not part of the whole process of making the movie. So it's really cool to read about it. It's cool. And yeah, and then Tiana, she was like, for that GIF, she was in her shop, in her store, her little cafe thing, and she was using her left hand too. I never noticed. But now when you watch the movie, you're gonna notice. Number three, Snow White is the only Disney princess to receive a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. This happened in 1987. I seriously did not know about this one. This one's really cool. I wish I got one. Honestly, I keep talking about how I wish I was these people, and I still do. Yeah, I want to be a Disney princess so dang bad. I'm still going to dream, because if Walt Disney can dream, I can dream too. And if he can achieve his dreams, then so can I. Number four. Ariel actually translates to Lion of God in Hebrew. I'm not exactly sure what that means in the movie. I took this fact because I thought it sounded cool, because learning about what the name translates to. But I've been trying to figure out why that's so important, why they chose that name for Ariel, for this Disney princess. And I'm not exactly sure. Maybe it's because her hair, you know, it's like lion, you know, lions have manes, and her hair is like a big red mane. I don't know. That's just my take on it. I just thought of that right now, actually. Number five. Many of Ariel's quirks and mannerisms came out of improvisation from her live-action model. And the BuzzFeed actually provided a video on this, and I watched it, and it was pretty cool. And so an example of this, it was that if if her hair was in her eyes, then she would blow it off her face, and then that would be added. So they draw that. So just little things like that, like having her hair in her face and she'd blow it out. That's such an iconic thing from The Little Mermaid that you would never think was added really accidentally. It was improv. That's so cool to know. That I want to be a live action model, dude. Goals. Number six, a Disney intern who was still in school ended up providing some of the inspiration for Tiana. Inspiration also came from Anika Noni Rose, the voice of Tiana. The intern's name was Jamie Milner, who attended USC, and she was an intern in post-production. It was said that she was very beautiful and had beautiful hair, and so they took some pics for reference. That is a very interesting fact, and that is why I added onto this list. That is actually really cool, though. Someone who's just kind of like casually there doing something that she enjoyed, and then she's used for inspiration. What the heck? Number 7. Kristen Chenoweth was originally cast as the voice of Rapunzel, but she dropped out. Reese Witherspoon was then cast, who also dropped out. The role eventually went to Mandy Moore. This is so weird to me just reading about this. I can't at all imagine Kristen Chenoweth or Reese Witherspoon being the voice of Rapunzel. It just sounds so odd to me because I'm so used to hearing Mandy Moore's voice and how soothing it was, but then how exciting it got in certain parts of the movie and during the songs. So it's, I don't know, because I feel like Kristen Chenoweth's voice is just really high, and I can't imagine Rapunzel having that high pitched of a voice. And to be honest, I didn't even know that Reese Witherspoon could sing. Does she have an album out? I don't know. I did not know this. So, yeah. Number 8. After auditioning more than 150 girls for the voice of Snow White, the part serendipitously went to a 20-year-old Adriana Casalotti, whose father, a singing coach, was helping Disney find a fit. Adriana overheard her father's phone conversation and began talking in the background to prove she had the right voice. She got that part. Dude. Oh my gosh. So when I was reading this, like, literally what I wrote down was, yo, this is hella stealthy and lightweight sleazy, but I would so do this. And oh my gosh, this is so sneaky, but I would, if I had this big of an advantage, if my father was working for Disney and was trying to cast someone, oh, I would do the same. I would hella do the same because I have this advantage compared, like, it's such a big good advantage compared to everyone else. And if I knew deep down that I could do this, I would do it. You go, girl. Shoot. That's so, oh my gosh. I'm just so floored by this because I would totally do the same even though it sounds really bad. But hey, she is where she is now. You gotta do what you gotta do. Well, not all the time, but you know what I mean. Number 9, Belle and Ariel shame the same live-action reference model, Sherry Stoner. That is so cool. She got to do for 2 movies? Shoot. Number 10, when Disney first announced The Princess and the Frog, the principal character was named Madeline, or Maddie for short. This upset critics, who called it a slave name. Disney then changed it to Tiana. What I wrote here was, OMG, I thought it was just because Tiana sounded better, but reading it now that how it was upsetting to critics, I was like, oh my gosh, I thought Tiana just works better, but, you know, that's just the fact, that's what happened. Number 11, Merida is the only princess with brothers. This fact really got to me because I never noticed this at all. I thought it was just like, oh, okay, she has brothers. That's cool. There's 3 of them. But yeah, everyone else either is an only child or they only have sisters. Like Cinderella has 2 stepsisters. So that's pretty crazy. And I was thinking, you know, maybe this could just be because Merida was part of Pixar, not just Disney itself. I don't know, but that's a pretty cool fact to me. Number 12. In earlier drafts of the film, Cinderella has a pet turtle named Clarissa. Why didn't they just go through with that? That sounds so cute. But I gotta give it to Gus. He was still cute. He's the one. Number 13. One thing Belle shares in common with Sleeping Beauty, Belle's dance with the Beast was created from the same cells as Aurora's dance with the Prince. Apparently, the animators were running out of time. So, when I saw this fact, BuzzFeed actually provided a side-by-side comparison of the 2 dancing scenes, and the only real difference between the 2, which is why we never noticed it before, is that Belle's dance with the Beast has different camera angles. So, for Aurora and the Prince, it's more of like an aerial view of them on the dance floor, just, you know, doing the waltz together. Whereas for the Beast and Belle, the camera angles, it's more like close up and then it comes out like a side view. And it's Yeah, you never guess it because those different camera angles. But when you watch both of them side by side, you can see like, oh yeah, it's a lot of the same dance moves, but turns out they're exactly the same. Okay, that's so cool. Number 14, when Snow White's Scary Adventures opened at Disneyland in 1955, it didn't feature Snow White anywhere in the ride. Riders were supposed to experience the ride as her. This proved confusing, and she was added in an overhaul in 1983. I think this is a really cool concept, like experiencing it as Snow White going through all of her scary adventures, but I can't understand why people would be confused, because like it says Snow White, so automatically you're thinking like, oh, Snow White, I'm gonna see her, but then not seeing her, you're like, where'd she go? Yeah, so I guess it makes sense, but I think that would have been a really cool concept, and it would have been nice to see it now, but darn. Number 15, Beauty and the Beast screenwriter Linda Wolverton wrote an important character detail into the script. Belle's little wisp of hair that keeps falling in her face. This showed that Belle wasn't perfect. And I think this was really good because it's showing young girls that no one is perfect. Because if you look at Beauty and the Beast, the movie, Belle is like, you think that she's just so perfect. Like, there can't be nothing wrong with her. But knowing this, that she has, like, her hair isn't perfect all the freaking time, it's more relatable. Like, I can't say any more about it, but it makes sense, and I really like that little addition they added. Number 16, Glenn Keane, the creator of Rapunzel, drew inspiration for the character from his daughter, who, as a girl, always wanted to paint her bedroom walls. By the time Keane started on Rapunzel, his daughter had become an accomplished painter, and he hired her to create the look of Rapunzel's room. This is really cool. I really like this. I really like this fact, because someone who enjoyed doing something as a kid and getting to do it as an adult, I think that's really cool. Especially for Disney, like, oh my gosh. That is goals right there. Honestly, everything in Disney is goals. For real. Number 17. Disney used Alyssa Milano's face as part of the inspiration for Ariel's look. Did not know that. That is new to me. Number 18. In 2012 and 2013, the Disney princesses were redesigned. So if you're like me, you probably noticed that they kind of changed a bit. Yeah, so they did change. They were redesigned recently. So if they look a little weird to you, it's not just your eyes fooling ya. They were changed, okay? Number 19, Merida's hair is crazy. Merida has more than 1,500 individually sculpted red strands that generate about 111,700 total hairs. Also, if Merida's curls were straightened, her hair would be 4 feet long and reach the middle of her calf. That is straight up crazy. They right. That is so crazy. Honestly, that's my hair goals, okay? I'm trying to get my hair to be that long too. You go, Merida. My goodness. And fact number 20. Ariel makes a cameo in Peter Pan's Flight in Disneyland. She can be seen hanging out in the Mermaid Lagoon. This is cool. I've never noticed this one before, so I am for sure going to check it out the next time I go to Disneyland, and I don't know when that is because Disneyland's expensive and it's all the way down in SoCal, so I gotta start planning this trip so I can just go find Ariel and Peter Pan's flights, okay? So, I hope on a little break we go. After the break, I'm going to be talking about Mulan a little bit and talking about some of the controversy that's been arising because of the upcoming live-action movie of Mulan. Yep, stuff's been going on, you guys, so I'm going to be talking about after the break. So remember, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu.
Well, it's a new hit for the radio, just another jam for the dance floor. I'll really get it in if you didn't know, I got a whole new thing going on. Break bread if you want to, cause leaving you is what I won't do. I'm in love with you completely, and ain't nobody else out there A couple shots of Patron, but I ain't drinking all alone. I got the hubby with me up in the VIP. Everything we do, VIG. And I'ma keep it real till I DIP. Okay, let's go. I'm with it, and you know, and you got it, and I'm ready. So
I'm in love with you. Like a weekend, I finally found you and I'm seeking. It feels like I wanna be close to you and do all the things that lovers do. Your love be getting me higher, 'cause boy you got that fire, fire.
A couple shots of Patron, but I ain't drinking all alone. I got the hubby with me up in the VIP. Everything we do, VIG, and I'ma keep it real till I die. Okay, let's go. You know, you got it, and I'm ready. So
I'm so
ready.
In love with you.
Back from break we go. So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu, and this is DJ speaking to you. The Eighth Dwarf is everything Disney related. So before the break, I talked about some facts about Disney princesses. Yeah, I thought a lot of them were really cool. A lot of them I didn't know about at all. So I was very excited to share those with you. And now, back from break, I'm going to be talking about Mulan. And just a disclaimer, is Mulan my favorite Disney princess? Not necessarily, but I did really want to talk about the stuff that's been going around about Mulan's live-action movie, because there's been quite a lot of beef going on about it. So first off, I just want to give you the synopsis of what Mulan is, because maybe, I don't know, maybe you haven't heard about it, maybe you haven't watched the movie at all, so I'm going to tell you about it. So, fearful that her ailing father will be drafted into the Chinese military, Mulan takes his spot. Though, as a girl living under a patriarchal regime, she is technically unqualified to serve. She cleverly impersonates a man and goes off to train with fellow recruits. Accompanied by her dragon, Mushu, she uses her smarts to help ward off a Hun invasion, falling in love with a dashing captain along the way. So there's the synopsis, and now you're probably wondering, okay, so what's up with Mulan's upcoming live-action movie? Well, rumors are going around within the past month or so that the beloved Disney movie Mulan would be getting a new plot in this upcoming Disney reboot. And a lot of fans were very shocked with all of these rumors that's been going around. And so the reported proposed script stated, a white man travels to ancient China to save Disney's spunky Asian hero. Okay, let's just pause right there. A big message that was sent out when you watched Mulan is that Mulan didn't need no man to save the country of China. She did that all on her own. So why in the Disney reboot would you want to completely change that? She was so independent. And like, why gotta be a white man, first of all? Why can't it be an Asian dude? Why can't it be a guy from China? Literally, this was in ancient China. We're white men in ancient China at the time Mulan was... What? This makes no sense. Seriously, my notes here just says WTF, yo. Because that's literally how I'm feeling. Why is this the plot? There's so many different ways it could have gone, but yet it went in this direction. Oh my gosh, my head hurts. Okay. And now, so there was controversy surrounding the would-be actors and actresses to bring the roles to life in Mulan. And apparently, Disney was eyeing Jennifer Lawrence, a Hollywood A-lister, to play the role of Mulan. And you might have remembered her from X-Men and as Katniss Everdeen in The Hunger Games. So if you've watched The Hunger Games and you know who Katniss is, it's the girl who played Katniss, Jennifer Lawrence. Disney was looking at her to play Mulan. Okay, Jennifer Lawrence is not Asian. What? So, like, if that's not getting to you, like, if it doesn't bother you that a white woman could be playing the role of an Asian woman, if that doesn't bother you, then there's a problem, because this bothers me, and this bothered a lot of Asians, too, because, like, why would you completely change the race, like, the ethnicity of the character? It makes no sense. And so many fans online were throwing names of possible Asian actresses, but Jennifer Lawrence's name came up and it really just got them all stirred up, because, like, why would you change the ethnicity? Like, seriously. And so it's really all it was. And then, some of these Mulan fans were saying that Jennifer Lawrence ain't even that good of an actress to begin with, okay? I didn't say this. I thought I still think Jennifer Lawrence is a good actress, but I just don't think that she's fit for the role to play an Asian character when she's not of Asian descent. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. So, I still think she's a good actress, but I don't know. And I think also, like, they were just mad because they just really don't want her to... They don't want Jennifer Lawrence to play her because she's just not Asian, which that part I understand, but... I ain't saying nothing about her not being a good actress. That did not come out of my mouth. And according to GameAndGuide.com, Mulan is known to be fully loaded with Chinese characters and culture. The fans wish that Disney would not change the rich, historical Asian culture that Mulan has portrayed, and hopes to see a full range of Asian characters to star in the Mulan live-action movie. And I definitely agree with this. I definitely agree with the fans on this. Like, why would you change their rich culture? That doesn't make any sense. Like, what? So that still gets my mind boggling. And the top Asian actresses named by fans to play Mulan are Jamie Chung, who's already played the role of Mulan in Once Upon a Time, and Korean actress Park Shin-hee. But I also think that a Brenda Song would be a good Mulan because she has experience in martial arts, because she's already been in a movie called from Disney Channel called Wendy Wu Homecoming Warrior, and she did a lot of her own stunts. So for me, I think it's like my personal, you know, opinion on this is that it should be between like Brenda Song and Jamie Chung. But I'm leaning more towards Jamie Chung because she literally plays Mulan already in Once Upon a Time. And why can't, like Disney, Disney, why would you do this? Like, it's already, there's a girl who's Asian, who's already played Mulan in a TV show. Why would you not take her and put her in the live action movie when she's had the experience? I don't get that at all. It's so confusing. My head hurts. I'm getting a headache. No, I'm not really, but it still bothers me. And Disney has yet to establish the official list of actors and actresses who will star, but the premiere date will be on November 2nd, 2018. So not this November, two Novembers from now. We will see this. And I hope it turns out to be really good, because I, along with other Mulan fans, don't want to be disappointed by this, because hearing all of these rumors was just a huge disappointment. And according to HollywoodReporter.com, Disney is launching a global casting search for a Chinese actress to play Mulan. As you should. Which this then means that Mulan will not be whitewashed nor have a white love interest, which is so good. And that's seriously, that's how it should have been in the first place. There shouldn't have been any consideration for anyone other than Asian actors and actresses. Like, seriously, is, hello, can we just, come on. And all of this controversy had created the hashtag Make Mulan Right all over Twitter, with many Asians' input on why this is such a big issue. And I'm going to read you this this post that was from a popular Facebook page called The Love Life of an Asian Guy. And I wanted to read this because I thought it was well written, and it describes what many fans are feeling about why Mulan needs to be Asian. And I'm going to read it now, and it does have one or two bad words, and I'm going to read it exactly the way it's written, because if me changing it would kind of, I don't want to change what they originally said, because that may ruin the effect of the original post. Mulan isn't a movie about courage or confidence or whatever bullshit you think it's about. It's not about Shang, Chinese nationalism, and it's definitely not that Mulan didn't need a man theory that so many basic Beckys think. Nah. Mulan, at least from an Asian immigrant vantage point, is about the friction between the traditional expectations of Asian parents and their Asian children. Let me tell you something. Throughout high school, I heard a lot about Asian girls being abused by their parents. Some were physically abused, and many suffered verbal and emotional abuse. One girl was locked in her house and not allowed to have friends. Others were threatened to pursue careers they weren't interested in. Did this happen to all Asian girls? Hell no. But that pressure from first-gen immigrant parents onto second-gen children was very real. When it comes to Asian immigrants, everyone focuses on the parents. That must have been a scary decision. And they're right, it was. But as second-gen Asians, it's our responsibility to make sure the process of immigration paid off. We didn't come here to be poor and have you waste your education on an art degree. So when Mulan went away and saved the country, it was a message that struck deep with Asian immigrant children. One that reassured us that sometimes traditional Asian expectations need to be broken to escape abuse and find ourselves, love, a new career, or our gender identity. If they whitewash Mulan, whether it's Mulan herself or Shang, they'll disrupt this deep, tragic reality for many Asian immigrants. That's what makes Mulan's reflection such a harrowing song. It describes that insufferable feelings of Asian immigrant children feeling trapped inside their own minds. Disney better not fuck this up, and they better fire every single white writer and give the role to Asians, especially Asian women and LGBTQ Asians. Hashtag make Mulan right. All I really gotta say about this is, I have to admit, I used to be one of those basic Beckys. I really thought it was, even earlier in the show, I was saying, like, Mulan didn't need no man. Like, that was me. But reading this, and I hope that you listening to it, you understand what they were feeling. And after reading this, like, this opens my eyes more to the message, and I can now understand why it's so extremely important for Mulan to be Asian. So I hope that was helpful, because, like, changing it, it's so relatable to many Asian kids. Like, when they were watching this as a kid, looking at the screen, seeing someone who looked similar to them. For me, I'm not Chinese at all. I'm Filipino. But even watching this, seeing an Asian, it felt like me on the TV. I felt like I was watching a part of me, because being an Asian and seeing an Asian on TV. Representation is just so important, and changing it would totally kill that. So I don't know, I can't say it as well as The Love Life of an Asian Guy did, but he does make a lot of really good points. So I hope that was helpful to you in some way. So definitely, you know, I hope we are on the same page that you think that Mulan needs to be made right. All right, okay. So, hi-ho, on a little break we go. After the break, I'm going to be talking about a little bit of Jasmine. If you didn't know already, Recently, Jasmine, she got a costume change. So I'm gonna tell you a little bit about it. So stay tuned for that. And remember, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu.
Working up the nerve to say that I got a secret. Yeah, I got a secret. All I wanna do is think about what you think about when you think about me. All I wanna know is every night, are you dreaming like me?
So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. I am DJ Breezy, and this show is everything Disney related. So before the break, I was talking a little bit about, what's been going on with some of the controversy over Mulan's upcoming live action reboot. And yeah, there's quite a lot I read a post, a Facebook post from a popular Facebook page called The Love Life of an Asian Guy, and I think it just really describes what many Mulan fans were thinking and what they were feeling about how Disney was possibly going to make Mulan be cast, like the actress be white instead of Asian. So I talked about that, and now I'm going to be talking about Princess Jasmine. And disclaimer, I would not necessarily say that Jasmine is my favorite Disney princess, but I just really wanted to talk about how she recently got a new outfit. Yeah, so first off, I'm going to tell you the synopsis of the movie she is in, which is Aladdin. And I do think it's weird how Jasmine, the movie she's in, wasn't named after her. But I guess change, you know, whatever. But I think it would have been cool if there was a movie called Jasmine. I don't know. So the synopsis. When street rat Aladdin frees a single genie from a lamp, he finds his wishes granted. However, he soon finds that the evil has other plans for the lamp and for Princess Jasmine. But can Aladdin save Princess Jasmine and his love for her after she sees that he isn't quite what he appears to be? So yeah, my first thing on here was that I just wanted to talk about how sad it is that the movie wasn't named after Aladdin, but I already touched upon that, and I still think it's pretty sad, but it's okay. I mean, it focused more around Aladdin, but I think it would have been cool to focus more around Jasmine. Maybe they'd make a sequel? I don't know, sequels aren't always that good, but you never know. Never know. Okay, so going into what I was going to talk about, her new outfit. So, according to InsideTheMagic.net, during Friday's first Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween party at Magic Kingdom, the Princess Jasmine meet-and-greet character debuted a new outfit that is quite the change from her previous two-piece costume. Jasmine is now dressed in a one-piece pants and dress combo that definitely gives the character some more coverage, which could have been the reason for the change. Some rumors point to complaints from guests of Jasmine's very revealing outfit, while others say it's just part of the costume redesign that previous Disney princesses in the parks have received. During the weekend, Aladdin also received a new outfit, something much more ornate and detailed. The change has happened to both the character's Epcot location at Walt Disney World and out at Disneyland. So what's my opinion on this? Well, if it's for the reason that people have been complaining about Jasmine being too exposed, I find the change to be annoying, because seriously, it's how she is in the movie. What are you going to do? Tell them, call them up and be like, hey, Jasmine, her midriff is showing too much in the movie. My child's going to want to dress up this way. I don't want to do that. What? Don't do that. It's literally how the movie is. And why not keep it the same way as it was in the movie? So, of course, they're going to completely copy it. So that way, when little children go to Disneyland or Disney World or any Disney park and see Jasmine, they want her to look exactly the same. So if it's for that reason that parents were complaining about her being too much belly showing, you know, y'all really didn't need to do that. Just saying. But if it's for the reason that, like her fellow Disney princesses, she needed an outfit change, then, you know what? So be it. That's cool. I have no complaint with that. That's totally fine. And I also just want to quickly talk about Frozen replacing Aladdin at Disneyland. Okay, so I just quickly want to talk about this. The last time I went to Disneyland, it was in 2015. I was there for a certain amount of, for like a short amount of time, because it was grad night and I was trying to go on like all the best rides. But before that, I went in 2011, and that's when I saw Aladdin, and it was seriously the coolest show, one of the coolest shows I've ever seen. It was such an experience, because like when like the elephants come by and it's like the whole coronation, it's like, whoa, like you just want to touch everyone. You want to like touch the elephants. You wanted to like straight up experience it. But then having them remove it and change it to Frozen, that pissed a lot of people, and I saw a lot of petitions, and I think I did sign it. I don't exactly remember, but it's really sad to see Aladdin go, and I've heard mixed reviews about the new Frozen attraction. I know some people who really enjoyed the Aladdin one dislike the Frozen one. They say it's not as good. I haven't seen it. I can't say so much about it, but it's such a shame how they had to replace it, because I think Frozen's not one of my favorite Disney movies. I think it was good when it first came out. It had a really good story. But hey, just throw this out there. I'm throwing this out, Frozen is not the first Disney movie showing a relationship between sisters, okay? If you think it is, you're wrong, all right? It is Lilo and Stitch, because Lilo and Nani, that is in that movie, it talks about their relationship, okay? So if you think Frozen, you're wrong. It's not, okay? Okay? Just gotta say that, all right? So, hi-ho, this is the end of my show. Ooh, that's cool. That's my first time doing that. I like that. Okay, I'm gonna do that more often. So, hi-ho, this is the end of my show. You are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. tune in every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. to listen to me talk about everything Disney. So, as Mickey Mouse says, I'll see y'all real soon.